Blog Talk Radio.
So gone and get to clapping. Go pop it for a plan, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan, drop it for me. I'll rent some beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner. Coolio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac.
Girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want.
Just to lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Sex by the fire at night. Silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
I'm talking trips to Puerto Rico. Say the word and we go. You can be my flica. Girl, I'll be a flico mama. A promise that I can't keep. I promise that your smile ain't gonna never be. Shopping sprees in Paris. Everything 24 carats. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest. Is it you?
Is it
me?
Is it me?
Say it's us. And I'll agree. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Sex by the fire at night. Silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. You say you want a good time. Well, here I am, baby. Here I am, baby.
Awesome and evening, everybody. It's a wonderful Wednesday. It is Hump Day, and we're so glad to have an opportunity to come before you and talk sports. This talk is for Plus, and we're at 8:00 Central Time, 9:00 Eastern Standard Time. And we want you to be a part of the show tonight. We want you to make sure you call in. The caller number is 347-857-4192. As well as you want to check it out on the web link, and we want you to be a part of it. We want to be able to go to Blog Talk Radio and listen to the show. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/thesniffwave. Now, again, we got an outstanding show tonight. Our show title is The Biggest Winners and Losers of the NFL Draft. There's been a lot of talk all week, ever since the draft was last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And that's been much talk. And we've heard some positive, we've heard some negative talk from the talking heads and comments, but we're going to come and share our thoughts on. We're going to let you know exactly what's going on and how we feel this draft went. Who are the losers? Who are the winners? The biggest winner and the biggest loser. Now, before I go any further, at this time, you know, it's always good to have a team of individuals that work with you, ready to help you make it do what it do. So I'm so excited by having this team. Now, you know, it's slowly kind of trickle in here, but you know, I always can count on this young man to be here and be here like, you know, like clockwork. early, on time, and he carried on that 12-inch room very well. Probably the city's turning. I'm missing. He remember that. And he always had the time value. He's always talking about being on time, value of time, and using that time as wise as possible. So I want to make sure I introduce the first, our first co-host that's on the line right now. This young man hails from South Alabama. And he works hard because he's known as the Dunn King of all things. And besides that, he's the conductor of what we call the E-Train, traveling from South Alabama to Montgomery, from Montgomery to Troy, from Troy down to Dothan. He's covering all those areas. None other than my fraternity brother. So glad to have him with me. Darryl E-Train Elliott. How you doing, Darryl?
Real good, Dr. Smith. I want you to pull closer to your microphone when you come back on the line. You seem like you're a little bit far away. Glad to be on Talking Sports tonight. Let's get down to BIZ. Before we do that, Dr. Smith, I'm going to give away tonight at the bottom of the hour, somewhere when we can get a break in there, I'm going to give away a backstage pass to Tri-State Family Reunion to some lucky listener tonight. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Man, that is awesome. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. And, you know, I'm fortunate, and I know what Darryl said, I need to get a little closer to the mic, and I'm moving as close as I can, and hope it's, you know, the volume is a lot better right now. And Darryl let me know quickly whether it's coming up closely enough so everybody can make sure they hear us, and I don't want to be too far away. Now, the other three
individuals who
served with us, and I call it, it's a service, because you had to volunteer and do this and really enjoy it. And, you know, they're coming online, they're slowly coming in, but, you know, right now, there, you know, a lot of times it's just you and I don't have no problem until they come on. So we will look forward to them coming on, but I want to make sure I introduce them because they're so important to this team. Being a part of this team is real exciting for us because, yes, we are doing something that is a passion. We just want to share with our listeners, our viewers, our individuals watching all over the world, because we are worldly, and we're proud to have 12 countries of individuals or listeners listening to the Talking Sports Plus. So, again, we're excited. So we just want to make sure I introduce each one of those individuals. You know, the line is filling up so fast, I just don't see the people numbered I ought to see. But, you know, that's all right. I appreciate it. Looking at the board, Darryl, it's filling up. We have joining us when he comes on the line, young man from North Alabama. He's known as the king by us, and he has a saying up there that a lot of people are aware who he is. Ain't no fun when the rabbit have a gun, none other than, as I saw the other day, 5-time champion girls basketball at Huntsville, 2-time back-to-back boys champion in Huntsville, this is middle school area, and 1-time football champion, our king, that's Coach Tremaine Edwards. So we're so glad to have Trey here with us. He'll be joining us in a minute. Then we'll move forward and make sure I'm trying to make sure I don't miss him. You slip down and I don't see his number on the board. And the other two co-hosts, we have the young lady of ours, the millennium. Now, this young lady been grinding. She had a video today of her running again. Go tell your story. I know, Darryl, we don't want to get too far away from doing what we need to do. But about September, in the month of September on the 5th, she had knee surgery, kind of reconstructed her knee, using a cadaver tendon to pull that kneecap back in place. And she's been grinding ever since then. So we're looking at 6, 7, 8 months she's been grinding. But today she videoed herself on Facebook running. She's running, y'all. And you just don't know what this grind has been all about. Our millennium, our lady of the hour, that's Coach Lauren D. Smith. And last but not least, there we're going to have to grab him by the hands and hold him down. Our touchdown Tony. No other touchdown Tony we know. He makes a major call. He's a man that worked with Alabama High School Athletic Association for many years. He brought decision everybody didn't always like, but it was for the best of us. And we appreciate him being a part of it. And that's Coach Touchdown Tony. And he's our other co-host. Darryl, let's do what we can do with what we have, my brother, and we'll carry it until our crew come in here. And I know they're trying to call and try to be a part of it. All right, the first thing will relate to the title. It's to the bigger, the biggest losers and the biggest winners of the NFL draft. And we'll kind of start off with this quarterback situation. With Kyler Murray being drafted number one, and then the big question came about who's going to be drafted number two. So there was a lot of discussion going on. And it was just, you know, who it's going to be. They was just waiting on pins and needles. And then the pick by the Giants, when they came to the podium, they sent the card out. Everybody thinking it was going to be Dwayne Haskins, but it was not Dwayne Haskins. It was Daniel Jones from Duke. And everybody, like, even the Giants fan, what? What the world going on here? So it was at a point, there was a lot of questions from that point right there dealing with the Giants. So last year they passed up on a quarterback of the future for a running back. And they didn't do a bad job. Now, please understand, it was a great job at selecting Saquon Barkley. But they needed a quarterback. Everybody thinking, since you didn't do it last year, you're going to do it this year. And you mess around and pick a player that threw 52 touchdowns in 4 years, over 27 interceptions. And passed up on a player who threw 50 touchdowns in 1 year, out of 13 games, 8 interceptions, 70% pass completion rate for an individual that I think they felt comfortable with. Darryl, share your thoughts on that.
And you said the magic word, somebody that they felt comfortable with. And when it comes down to stats, like you were quoting, versus the comfortability of a player, there's a decision has to be made there. And you'll find that. It's just like the situation we were talking about with Kyler Murray versus the other guy. And I can't think of his name who has all of the issues there. Say it again, Doc.
Josh Rosen.
No. Yes, that has all those issues. And so there's some decisions had to be made there. So, you know, this guy, I think they are comfortable with him. And with that being said, your character is more better on the field and off the field as a decision maker as to how you get on that field. You know what I'm saying, Dr. Smith? Back to you.
Yes, sir. You hit it on the head, Darryl. And it has something to do with pretty much it's going to be more or less the comfort locker room. They was trying to get a comfortable locker room. Just remember, now last year there was a lot of issues with the Giants. You had issues with Odell Beckham, you know, saying, really going out speaking publicly about the quarterback. So the culture was not good. So I think this pick had to do with somebody who would not create problems. Let's keep it real. Dwayne Haskins, he was drafted by the New York Giants. The fans in New York would be calling for him to start, and Eli Manning would go to the bench, and that wasn't going to happen. So you bring in somebody that fits the mold, gets approval from the quarterback guru who trained you, as well as Peyton Manning, your brother. So you get somebody that's going to come in, not going to cause any problem, not going to push you. If we're not winning, we're not going to put you in anyway because you're not ready to be able to stay. So it's like forcing the Giants fans to accept Eli when he's at the cliff. You know, the biggest thing we're talking about, the cliff. A lot of people at the cliff, falling off the cliff. So that's one of the things they're dealing with. And I want y'all to keep that in mind. Somebody they was comfortable with. Somebody that not going to cause the locker room to lose that positive attitude by getting it away. They want to get it. But that's some other discussion. And, you know, we always have to bring in the situation with race. We have to do that. Not always, but it was brought up. I'm going to say it was brought up. One of the things brought up was by Stephen A. Smith. You know, the Giants started, I think, Geno Smith last year for one game. He was the first and ever only quarterback that ever started for the Giants. And he came in for one game for Eli Manning. And he was saying, was that one of the issues? Can we just think that could be one of the issues? Why they didn't draft Dwayne Haskins? Is that it? Or is it where they wanted to keep the culture in the locker room pleasant? And we want that in a locker room, but you don't want no competition. So you said that the man has played a major part in selecting this player and offering their ideas about who should be there. So I'm kind of concerned with that. So that's just something we want to be able to keep an eye on and talk about as we move on in regards to the draft. Now, there was other quarterbacks drafted, but that was three drafted in the first round. Let's go to round 15. Pick 15, round one, and that's Dwayne Haskins by the Washington Redskins. So they were looking really excited there about getting him. He was excited by going there, but he didn't show it there, but he was just feeling like he was overlooked at six. Now, the Redskins and the Giants in the same division. So we want to kind of compare, you know, his contemporary would be Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray. So we're going to compare them to see their performance against each other. So we'll kind of keep our eye. It don't have to be there to be on the field. It's that who's on the field, who's performing at the high level. Everybody believe Dwayne Haskins will eventually get on the field before the year is out and kind of see the big bridge. It's going to get him in there, whereas Daniel Jones is probably a three-year starter. So there's been a lot of discussion about that there, and we're going to keep an eye on it. We could talk about Kyler Murray, but Arizona will have to make the adjustment offensive-wise. I don't mean in play calling because Kingsbury is going to bring what he wants to run, but will the offensive lineman be able to block? Will it, because you got a different kind of quarterback sitting back there, even though that quarterback, Josh Rosen, ran for his life when he was back there. So there wasn't a whole lot of blocking going on. He said a play call or whatever you want to call. It just wasn't working, so he was running for his life because the lineman was unable to block for him in Arizona. So we're going to kind of keep an eye on the quarterback situation. We want to compare them after the season. You know, after we see how things go, everybody looks to see Kyler Murray on the field immediately. I don't, you know, in my mind, I'm a little, you know, you're drafting him number one, but we really want to see what kind of performance he will have. Everybody believe he have an outstanding individual performance, but the team will still won't be any better than it was last year. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. Now, we had talked about Daniel Jones. Yes, Eric.
Before you switch gears, Alabama got a player come out of Mountain West. He's from Dothan, Alabama. He's going to try out for the Denver Broncos. He played for Nevada. His name is Malik Reed of Dothan, Alabama.
Malik Reed,
he played for Mountain West out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Las Vegas, Reno. I think that's what it's called. Reno, Nevada. Yeah. But I want to congratulate him and his whole family because they're from Dothan, Alabama, and all of them are excited about it. And I just want to wish them the best. I think it's going to be great. And I think he has the tenacity and the wherewithal. If you look at his stats, I think he has the tenacity and wherewithal to make it. So he's headed to Denver Broncos. Kudos to him. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. We want to congratulate Malik Reed out of Dothan, Alabama, getting a chance. He's coming out of Nevada, Reno, being drafted and have a chance to make a roster. He have a chance. You know, that's one of the things you have to look at. Just, you can't have a chance if you don't get drafted. You go as a free agent now. You can go as a, let's say a free agent, you can go, but it's so much better when you get drafted. And they try to keep you within a certain round that 15 players that are probably automatic make the team, and the other ones got to really fight for that 53-man roster, you know, because you got to remember, we already have players on there. So we'll keep an eye out for his success as well as those other quarterbacks that look to have whatever success in their first year, if not 2 years from now, 3 years from now. All right, we're going to look at the biggest winners and losers in this 2019 NFL draft. Now, I'm going to start off there and kind of say that just going with the discussion. So we was discussing the Giants because they had the sixth pick. But right before the Giants, the Raiders had the fourth pick, if I'm not mistaken. And the Raiders selected Cleveland Farrell. And a lot of people in that camp was a little surprised. I don't mean so much in that front office, but the ones that as fans that supported them was a little surprised. This player had some issues, had some things that he did. Possibly he's going to have some struggles getting on the field and everything because of some issues. but he's an outside rusher, and he's one of those three out of Clemson that had an opportunity to, you know, to work and be one of the best defensive lines in the country. But he was drafted by the Ravens, but then the eyebrows were raised because he was drafted. Then you also had Josh Jacobs from Alabama. They thought that was an awesome pick on deep knee, but they needed a running back. And that is just selecting those players because they had three first-round picks, the Raiders did. But some people saw it as not as a win for them, but they got a split situation there. So we're going to kind of keep an eye on that. Then we have the Giants. Giants had about 11 picks. So they select some players that they feel that that's going to help their program, program go to the highest level. They have a challenge before them, a lot of tension among those individuals, and some players are left there and went to other teams, the teams they're going to compete against. And you're just talking about, you know, a whole different situation. So two of those teams, those two teams mentioned, it could fall in either. They consider one or two players to make them winners, or one or two players to make them losers. Darryl, say your thoughts.
Well,
yeah. So I think I have lost you, Darryl. I may have lost you, but we're
I'm sorry.
Still here.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
I was just saying. You know, the Seahawks used the NFL draft to trade their way into 11 new players, and so I was concerned about that, because when you put 11 new players out there, you know, you figure you got to get murkier after with 11 players, so brand new players on your team. So I was looking at the Seahawks in their situation with that, and going, kind of shaking my head with that. You mentioned the Raiders themselves, and I was looking at that, but also the Patriots. They said,
okay.
Uh-huh. You know, so the whole situation with those teams, all of them have different scenarios, but all of them really are the biggest losers as far as I'm concerned. Back to you, Doug.
Awesome, man. And when we look at it, we look at it that way because if you didn't get the player that you needed, some people said that even with the Patriots, they had drafted Derek Stenham from Auburn as a quarterback. He's being drafted as and hopefully groomed as a quarterback of the future, but somehow his rating, even draft rating, was low, right at the 80 mark, right along with Daniel Jones. So it's just curious. But when you think about it, you're drafting 32nd, in the first round, every other year, then you're going to have to just find some gems, you know, just find some gems in the rough and find out where the diamonds are and find out where they are and make them work. And they have a tendency, the Patriots, somehow to make things work. So we'll keep an eye on that. Like as we talked about the Raiders, you know, they just having these, you know, three first-round draft choices. And within the first or second round, they had four top picks and top opportunities. So I think they had a great chance to add. So they can fall in either way, depending on a lot of them basing their success on that first pick, which was Cleveland Farrell. They thought should have went for Ed Rusher, Josh Allen. They should have went for him. They went the other way. So we'll kind of keep an eye out for that, and we'll kind of see who would be eventually the biggest winner and the biggest loser in this draft. There, we're going to look at some historical black college and university storylines. I think one of the biggest storylines is dealing with Alabama State University. If you want to share some thoughts about that and their draft, their player being drafted, and what kind of waves it sent throughout Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then just sent out some magical things out there about that university and their athletic program. Do you have any thoughts on that,
Dave? Dr. Smith, for your listeners on the line, let them know how they can chime in on the conversation, too, real quick, if you don't mind, before I start talking.
Exactly. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to give your name, your location, then you can ask your question or offer your comment. We want to have you on the line. So dial that number again, 347-857-4192. Okay, Darrell.
All right, yeah. So Titus Howard from Alabama State University with a 23 overall pick for the NFL draft Thursday is the man. I am so proud of our HBCU boys. And, you know, that is a good look for Alabama State University, a blessing as well as a way for Alabama State to get some notoriety out of that and perhaps even increase their program. That's the one person, and there's more, but I'm very happy because Bama State got them somebody on the NFL field in the draft. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And just to kind of add with that, and Darrell, I appreciate it because that is a milestone that's going to be you just can't see what the benefit's going to be for that program because this person is the first player ever in the history of Alabama State University to be drafted in the first round. Then had some players in the second round and third round, fourth round, go back to Curtis Green, many others, Eddie Robinson, you can go back. But for this kid to be drafted 23rd in the first round, and Coach Greg DiBalo put a little quote on Facebook, put some information out, quote him, and he just talked about how the NFL draft go because he was drafted as well. Reggie Barlow that played and coached over at Alabama State, played for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He said 774 colleges and universities provide football programs. 774. I want y'all to keep that in mind. Only 22 had a first-round draft pick out of them 774 colleges and universities. Alabama State falls in the elite company because they had a player drafted out of the 22. Now, they said 22, he was 23rd, but the 22 schools had two players. I mean, one school had two players. Let me get that right. One school had two players, so out of those 23 picks, 22 schools out of 774 schools that play football in Alabama State falls in the elite category. So, again, we applaud the university. Matter of fact, that young man, Titus Howard, was one of Reggie Barlow's recruits. He was recruited as a quarterback. He played down at Monroeville or Monroe County High School. He was a quarterback tight end, huge kid, big kid, but he wasn't as big as he is now. His last game they played, his last high school game, he said that was his last game he knew he was going to ever play quarterback. He rushed for over 300 and some yards. But when he got to college, he came to Alabama State as a walk-on. Just remember, a walk-on. We talk about Baker Mayfield and all that he went through as a walk-on at two programs. But these man, young man walked on. He was a quarterback. He got there. He grew 4 inches. Gained 87 pounds, and now he stands right there representing Alabama State University as a first-round draft choice, the 23rd overall pick, 6'5", 322 pounds. And that's awesome for the university, and it's just said you're working toward being elite and continue to be elite because there will be players in the future because sometimes you had to get over the hump and get that first one in there that's drafted at that high-profile level, which is first round. You never know what the future holds. There are several other players that are transferred from other schools that are coming there that are slowly be there and be there for the start of the fall that may make a difference in the future. So we want to applaud Alabama State University, but they wasn't the only school that had an opportunity to get players drafted in the historical black colleges and universities. We talked about players that have possibilities, but these players actually draft choices and have a chance to make a team. You have Joshua Miles, he's out of Morgan State. He's the first player drafted in about 20 years. He was the 248th pick of the Arizona Cardinals. You have Darryl Johnson out of North Carolina A&T. He's a defensive lineman, defensive player of the year for the MEAC. He was a 25th pick for the Buffalo Bills. Then we have Quentin Bell out of Prairie View A&M. He was a 230th pick of the Raiders. So those players got drafted in this 2019 draft, have a chance to go and make those teams, make a squad, and we want to applaud them. But there are some other players that signed on as free agents, and we called out some of them names last week that wants to get an opportunity. They will get an opportunity to make some team, do a practice squad, and eventually make it a team. So there, that's how it looks. So we're going to say we applaud those universities, those colleges for having players drafted, playing at a high level. They are recognized as all the other school players, which is 774 schools that play, colleges and universities that play football, and those players have an opportunity to compete at that level. So we applaud the historical black colleges and universities, and we just have to just enjoy this moment because it's a great time to be a part of either one of those HBCU universities. All right. Yeah, we're going to kind of move our program on. We're going to move to the college, the coach's corner, and kind of talk about some situations that's going on in our college athletics. We're going to talk about a criticism that Nick Saban had of one of his former players, but also some advice he tried to give one of his players, which is a former player just most recently, out of the 2018-19 academic year. He criticized that some of these players are going early in a hurry to get out, and they get in there and don't get drafted where they should be, or a possibility they don't get drafted at all. And there were some mighty discussions in regards to that. One particular player this year there that did get drafted but probably should have stayed a year, another year he was on that one, that Savion Smith. He played cornerback. He didn't get drafted. What's your thoughts on those players leaving early? And I know we say if you can go, you can go, but if you're not ready and you can come back for another year, just share your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, Nick Saban, way back in the 18 draft, he had some words for Ronnie Harrison, if you remember. And Saban apparently didn't think the move was correct for Harrison. And I think he said something about, you know, if you were a third-round draft pick and, you know, you had one year last year, you know, then you shouldn't be thinking about going into the NFL until you're fully developed and you have a better chance of getting there. So, I here's my thing. You know, these young cats, they get out there and they feel like they are ready for the big league. And who's to say they are not? You know, if they're being watched by the NFL and then they're being talked to and they say, you know, the agents say you have a good chance and it's their opportunity, maybe it's their opportunity. So, you know, I don't know how to say Nick Saban was wrong for saying that, because Nick Saban, you know, like him or not, he's a pretty good coach. And I think he's more concerned. I don't think he's concerned more about winning than he is developing his players to go to the next level. So I think he was right in the respect of what he has to say. And then he's a strong-minded individual as well. So these players, you know, Nick is watching these players, and he understands the thought process and what they need to know and how they need to develop. And at least I give him that confidence that he should know. And so, you know, the pundits will say, well, that's not the right thing. You know, that's not the right thing to say. And then I understand another player had something to say about Nick. But nonetheless, the reality is I stand with the opinion that these coaches know how to develop these players and get them to the next level. And if they say they're not ready, then I stand with them. Perhaps they're not ready. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%, Darrell. You know, who's to say that, but the person who's there evaluating you every day. And if you know the reputation and those players before you that precede you, you probably need to check it out. And in some cases, I would recommend, like Savion Smith, I would have recommended him. He got hurt, and he needed to be rehabbed to the point. That might be the reason he did get drafted, because they didn't want to take a chance on a player that was not 100%. But here you are now, you got to fight through free agency, and you may not get an opportunity, which you could have stayed in school one more year because you had another year to use. In some cases, if you came to the University of Alabama or any college or university, and all your ideal is to go to the pros, be the best prepared person to go to the pros. Whether you might not do it academic, but please do it physically to the point where you'll be able to compete at a high level. Because once you put your accept any kind of funding, accept representation from an agent, and they're going to put some money in your pocket, you're done. Your amateurism status is done. You can't be an amateur anymore. So you have to make the right choice, and sometimes some decisions need to be really made about this situation. You know, one of the local players, yes, he got drafted, but he was a little upset because he didn't get drafted in the first four rounds, which I thought that he wouldn't get drafted in the first four rounds because of some of the things, the immaturity and some on the field while he was playing linebacker at the University of Alabama. But he was kind of upset. He was glad he eventually got drafted. But we also know when you get into the fifth, sixth, and seventh round, it's a good chance that the roster might be filled before you get there. So, but if you was thinking you should have been drafted higher because you was rated and been told by many of the agents that was trying to recruit you that you're going to be drafted high, they're going to drop $10,000 or $20,000 in your pocket. Now, they're going to get their money back. And if you're not getting that $6.9 million that those individuals that drafted in the first round will be getting up until like $20 million, the point is, if you down, the farther you fall down in the round, the lesser money you get. Because I understand if you fall down. Yes.
And I hate to interrupt you. But all that falls back on this, just like Savion Smith took that chance and didn't get drafted. Mm-hmm. He does not have a degree either. So, you know, and touchdown Tony Stallworth, he's big on that. You need that education because you can go out there on the practice field before you ever get it, before you ever make it to the game. Remember, you got to play the first game, get the first check. So,
exactly.
So. When you know, so you can go out there and on the practice field break your leg and won't be able to play at all, and you don't have a degree now. So now you got to work your way all the way back through all of that. So that's another point that needs to be brought up in this. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Exactly, and we got a caller that want to share their point of view, the comment. I have a question, and I'm gonna call out the number, and the number is 6798. Carter, we'll ask you to identify yourself and your location, then join with your comments or your questions.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Hello? Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. I am, my name is Michelle. I'm calling from Dothan, and I totally agree with you guys, howbeit ever. Would you say some coaches are doing it for selfish gain just to hold the guys there? And not only that, speaking on the terms of degree, I always tell kids, because I am a teacher, and I say, you know, make sure you use that college. Don't let that college use you. You know, it's a business, and I am there to, as a player, help the team win, help the university win, but at the same time, I need to have that degree to fall back on. So in saying that, I totally agree with you guys. But back to my question, I would say – some coaches try to hold on to players for their own gain, but I encourage all athletes to make sure they get that degree before leaving there.
Exactly, and I agree with you 100%. And as your question is, and as a 35.8-year educator myself, I retired 3 years ago, that's always been the ultimate goal for those players to get a degree. So if you don't make it in the NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball, whatever you're looking for, you have that to fall back on. But when you also decide to leave and don't have that degree, you still and don't make it, you still eventually got to look back at trying to get that degree. And I think coaches do actually
keep players around so they can make their program better and keep their program at the high level. But also, we also have to take that advice of that coach, saying that maybe if you want to go to the next level, because we have put players at that level or put players in a position, and you need to get another year to work on your craft, then you probably need to. But besides working on your craft, you can get your degree, because these players that are leaving early don't have a degree. And they're leaving, and if they don't make that NFL team, or if it's the NBA or whatever it is, then they eventually got to get out and find a job. And when they're trying to find a job and don't have that degree, there's not a whole lot of jobs that you can make the money that you thought or would like to make. So that's something that we have to keep in mind. It kind of works both ways. Coaches are keeping players around because it makes their team even better, because they're convinced them, you're not ready, so we can be even better next year and play at the high level we expect to play. But we also want you to stay there and grind and get that degree. So you have to have a focus. You have to have a major. And the NCAA rules don't allow you to just go to college and take basket weaving. You got to work toward a degree and keep your eligibility from year to year. So that's one of the things that would be very important. But it works both ways. We agree with you 100%. And we know that a lot of coaches do keep players so they can do what? Be better. But also, they need to encourage the player, step out. If you think you can do it, go do it. But understand that if you don't have that degree, you may not have anything to fall back on. So that's how it works. And we do appreciate you calling in and appreciate you sharing your thoughts. And we have other people on the line. We want to give them a chance to share their thoughts. But thank you very much. Caller with the last number, four digits of 0701. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and offer your comments and your questions, or your questions.
Well, this is Rodney. They call me Big Saint. I'm up in Arkansas right now, but I'm from Crenshaw County.
Okay.
And I want to speak on the Daniel Jones thing, you know, because I watched the draft. You know, I feel like it was a bad pick. And you know, me growing up in Buffalo, New York, a lot of fans with the Giants said, They didn't like it because he only went to Manning camp. That's why he was associated with the Mannings. Is why they say he went to the Giants. I could be wrong, but I'm thinking that's what I heard.
Oh, you heard it right. You heard it right. I think, and the Mannings played a part in the pick. That actually came out of Gettleman's mouth. The GM said that they played a part in the pick because they feeling he would fit what they was trying to do. And there's a lot of thought about that. But, you know, it is a concern that Daniel Jones was picked because he went to the Manning camp. He was coached by Eli in the Manning camp. So it was a sample proof for the Manning to have him be the person. Then we'll look at it another way. I'm going to share this with you, I think, and I may have said it earlier. I think that last year with everything going on with Odell Beckham, Beckham's talking about Manning's not any good. We need to get rid of him. And he caused a culture that was not likable in the locker room. If they would have drafted Haskins, he would have been, the fans would have been clamoring and calling for who? Been calling for Haskins. And what that would have did,
yeah,
Eli being here.
I agree.
He would have sent it to fence, and that wasn't the word. Not with the Mannings. They've been kind of controlling this for a long time, because I can remember when Eli came out, he was drafted by the San Diego Chargers. And his dad said he wasn't going to the Chargers. So they've been trying to control this.
And the Giants end up with it.
So that's the situation that's going on. And that's why there's so much talk about it from all your talking heads and fun, saying that he's only there because Manning says it's okay for him to be there. So we do appreciate it. We appreciate your talking.
I have one more question. So.
Yes, sir.
Did Kaepernick go to the Giants wanting to go there? I want to know that. Because if Kaepernick offered to go to the Giants and they turned him down, I think I'll say again, the Mannings had something to do with that as well.
Exactly. And Kaepernick also, when they was needing a quarterback even last year, was willing to come and go through, you know, whatever was needed to make the squad, but they really didn't touch him. You know, that's why he was able to get the money he got. for the collusion in regards to the NFL owners getting together and keeping them out. But he did the, when but threat to Manning, Eli, they wasn't gonna let that happen. So Kaepernick would have been the quarterback starting this year. He would have been the starter this year, but they didn't want it, so he didn't even get a chance to get his foot in the door. So, and the other 31 teams are the same way. So we're dealing with a situation with that, but he received the settlement with that, so he's moving on, doing some things that he's comfortable doing doing right now. But the manager has a lot to do with it. Ain't no shame in that game to say that.
Okay. Yeah.
I appreciate you, Kyle. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, man, for calling in. And Dr. Smith?
Yeah.
Dr. Smith, we need to give away this backstage pass for Tri-State Family Reunion, and I got a way to get it done.
Right.
Okay.
Let's have a quick contest. We got callers on the line, do we not?
Yes,
we got some in queue. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to give let's give two callers the opportunity that hadn't been on with us, two callers the opportunity to tell us at least three of the artists on the Tri-State Family Reunion. Give me three artists. The first one that gets it right, I'll give them a backstage pass. I'll let you open the lines and find out what we got.
Okay, callers, we're going to open the line up, and if you can identify those three artists that will be on the tour, you have an opportunity in the back. Go in the back and check everything out. It's going to be awesome there. I might want to win that myself, but let me stop. But any of the callers, if you have any knowledge of who's going to be the three artists on that tour, there's
right.
You got an opportunity to let us know. And there, I know we have callers on there already. They might know you. They're from Chris Duncan. But from that area, we opened it up for either one of them. Kind of, they got the button. They pushed the button. So we're going to see. We're going to check them out and see if they got an answer. We got to check them out.
All right. Let's roll.
Okay. We have a caller again. 6798. Do you know the answer to that question? Three artists on the tour.
I decline.
She declined. All right. And our other caller that was sharing with us, and we appreciate him. We give him an opportunity as well. We got other callers on here, but at least they got the button still up. Caller 0701, are you aware of those three groups that are being on tour, and can you name those three individuals? Three groups.
Tucker, Pokey Bear, Calvin Ritson, Wendell B.
Lowe. Well, he wins already. He wins already.
I mean, I fuck with I follow Darius everywhere he goes. That's my all. You know what I mean? So I know what's going on. Come on.
Okay, Dr. Smith. So I if I'm right, that's Rodney. That's Big Shank. So he's good. Do we have another caller on the line? We'll give away another one.
We'll give away another. Any other caller? We have them on the line, and I'm going to press them and see if they're going to be able to respond there. That's the way we'll do it tonight. How about that? All right, caller.
Okay, go.
With the last four digits of 1066, are you aware? Do you know the artists that will be on tour? The three artists, three groups that will be on tour?
Or at least three.
And it's three.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Go ahead on.
Oh, I decline. I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Daryl.
Yes.
This is the king's mama. I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe the king needs to be on the line and let me know.
We missed the king tonight. I don't know what happened to Jermaine. He's probably busy. Well, thank you very much. And thank you very much, Mama King. We're going to call you Mama King from now on.
Mama
we appreciate
King.
You. Well, we appreciate you, and thanks to everybody for playing. We appreciate it. Dr. Sure. Smith, we'll turn the show back over to you.
Oh, there, I had one more call on that. Anybody want to ask it?
Well, let's give it a shot.
Okay. And this other caller with the last four digits of 6466, do you know the three groups that will be on fourth? Then we got three backstage passes for it. Are you aware of those three and the three groups? That's 6466. They're not saying anything there.
We'll move on, Dr. Smith, and thank you so much for playing, everybody.
Everybody, we thank you for joining us in regards to playing a part of that. We're going to have other giveaways as we move forward. We're going to keep doing this. And for those individuals that only want to answer, we appreciate it. And we just appreciate you joining there. I tell you, you know, we had a show filled with a lot of things. I hate we don't have our other three individuals here because I wanted our resident expert of high school to come in and talk about some of those things going on in the spring and also share some stuff about amateurism. Maybe we can get him next week there. And that will touch down Tony. We'll get him on here and let him share some stuff. Again, we had an outstanding show. You know, we got about 7 or 8 minutes, but we're getting ready to wrap it up there. We're going to call it quit. And next week, we'll come back at them even harder, and we'll have some other prizes on next week as well. I'll make sure of that. And I do appreciate everybody joining. There, you want to share any thoughts before we close this thing out?
I appreciate everybody listening in, tuning in. People don't realize that this show is on the World Wide Web, and we have people all over the entire United States as well as other countries listening to Talking Sports, and we appreciate you all for listening in. Yeah, and we thank you for those who chimed in tonight. Like Dr. Smith said, we have three other co-hosts on this show, and they're all tied up tonight, but that's okay. We still managed to make it through. And thank you again for being part of the show. God bless you all, and have a wonderful night. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Darren. I appreciate all you do, as well as our listeners. Darren stated it's worldwide. We got people, they may not call in, but they're on the web. They're on the web link, and they're listening to the show in all of those countries that we're being aired, and we're so happy to have an opportunity. But again, I thank each and every one of the callers that was on to ask questions, and I'm glad that we were able to give away that pass, and we're going to have other passes in the future. We're going to have other things in the future. We want you to continue to join us. We had an awesome night tonight. We talked about the biggest winners and the biggest losers in the 2019 NFL draft. I'm going to say one of the biggest winners, and we were talking, kind of teetering around with schools and teams. We're going to say that Alabama State University was the biggest winner in this 2019 NFL draft. I appreciate each and every one of you joining us. Check us out next week as well on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We want to be at full force next Wednesday, but on Monday we'll have our show that relates to just plain old life issues, and that's Talking Real to You, hosted by myself, as well as three other co-hosts, and that's Dr. Olivia E. Smith from out of surrounding Atlanta area, Lauren D. Smith, that makes up the father and daughter blog called King, and is the only one in the country, and last but not least, we have Scarlett H. Black out of Greenville, South Carolina. So we look forward to having an awesome time on Monday night. Make sure you join us. And we're just excited to have a chance to bring you sport, life issues, relationships. We had an outstanding show last night. I had so many calls. Let's do that part two to it. So we're going to have a part two to the show that we had last night. And again, we're so excited to have a chance to just come to you and talk to you. And last night's show dealing with relationship was don't get too comfortable in your relationship. It'll be a part two. So check us out. We look forward to talking with you again on next Wednesday, dealing with Talking Sports Plus. But on Monday night, we have Talking Real to You, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Have an awesome night. And all I can say is, you know, hashtag keep on grinding, hashtag communicate for understanding. But last but not least, I always want to tell everybody, I love you and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. We're going to end this up with 24 Carats by Bruno Mars.
Tonight.
Oh, yes. So we're going to say, we're going to tell you like we always tell you. As we close out the 24 carats, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night, and have an awesome
day. Hey, say my phone, they all be jacking.
Keep up.
Players only.
Come on. Put your pinky finger to the moon.
Girls,
what y'all trying to do?
24 carats magic in the air. Bad bitches and your ugly ass friends. I cannot preach.
Uh-oh.
I cannot preach.
Uh-oh.
I gotta show them how I pimp. Get it in
first.
Take your sip,
sip.
Do your dip,
dip.
Spend your money like
money ain't shit.
Ooh, ooh.
We too fresh.
Got to blame it on Jesus.
Hashtag blessed.
They ain't ready for me. I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket.
Keep up.
So many pretty girls around me and they're waking up the rocket.
Keep up.
Why you mad? Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jocking.
Keep up.
Players only.
Come on. Put your pinky rings up to the moon.
Woo.
What y'all trying to do?
What you trying to do? 24 carats magic in the air. Hit the toe, so clear. Look out. Everywhere I go, they be like,
just